Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe shows us how we can view sexuality as God designed it.
And what Paul is saying is if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot take the value system of this world. Your sexuality is something that needs to be sanctified, set apart unto God, and viewed as something of high value.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Our topic today is not one that's very popular in our culture, but one we have to address. We started this message last week, so if you missed the first part, be sure to catch up online at boldstepsradio.org. Our study is titled, The Call to Purity. And today, Mark is going to show us that God sets us apart for His purposes, and that includes managing our sexuality. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we were bought with a high price, and when something is highly valued, you don't give it away to the cheapest bidder. So let's get started with the message. Here's Mark Jobe.
Verse 4, it says, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. We set our body and our sexual energy aside to God. We set it apart unto God. We say, I'm going to manage it the way you want me to manage it, God. And in honor. That word honor means high value. If you've ever gone before a judge, you say, Your Honor. Why? Because you're saying you're a person of high value, high esteem, that's going to make judgments about my life. And so I'm going to really treat you nice. When the word honor means something that's of high value. And what Paul is telling us as believers, we need to understand that our body belongs to God. And that our body needs to be set apart to the purposes of God. And our body and our sexuality needs to be set apart to be managed God's way, and that we need to look at it as something that's of high value. And when something's of high value, you don't give it away cheaply. When something's of high value, you take care of it. When I got married, I was 21 years old, and I was really poor. And I saved up, and I got my wife a ring. I didn't get her an engagement ring because I didn't have money for that, but I got her a wedding ring. And in my mind, hey man, in my mind, I splurged. You know, but when you're poor, splurging, it's not a lot. So basically, I got her a cheap little ring. She cherished it. She never complained. She never said, why'd you give me the cheap little thing? You know, it was what it was, and it had sentimental value, right? So I got it. She cherished it. But you know, when we were hitting our 25th year anniversary, she started dropping hints like a wife does. Subtle hints. Subtle hints like, how about buying me a ring? So I'm smart enough to take a hint when I hear it. So I said, all right, honey, I'm going to buy you a ring this time. I'm going to buy you a better ring than you had. So she went out and started looking for rings, and I learned more about rings than I want to know. More about little diamonds. I didn't know there's yellow diamonds and clear diamonds and specks and how it's cut and this and that, all that. I endured that for the sake of my beloved wife. And so when we bought that ring, she suddenly, I don't know, she hadn't taken care of her old ring very well, but once she got that ring, it was like, whoa, this is special, honey. We'd be in the elevator and she'd say, look at that. So No, look at the sparkle there. Look at that little shine. Like, okay. She got a little case to put it in. The lady told her, oh no, you can't wash dishes, you know, because there's a little film. So she got a little place to put it beside the sink. So, you know, why? Because it's special. She got a little case to put it in beside the nightstand where she can put it in a special case. Set apart, not with the rest of the jewelry, because this was a nice ring. Set apart. High value. You know, she's not a materialistic, possessive person, but, you know, she hasn't, I haven't heard her, like, loan it out to anybody and say, oh, you're going to something here, you want to wear my ring? Here you go, no problem, take it. No, she hasn't done that. Why? High value, taken care of, set apart. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about, our sexuality. He's saying, listen, your body and your sexuality have been set apart to God and they have high value. When you understand that it's high value, you don't give it away cheaply, give it away easy. It's not just something casual. You guard it, you keep it, you protect it, you watch over it because it has high value in the eyes of God. Yeah. That you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentile who do not know God. He says, you know what? Hey, you used to live a certain way because you didn't know God. And so your sexuality, you had some passions, you had an urge, you went out there. Why? Because you didn't know any better. You didn't know God. But now you know God. That's the old you, not the new you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. One of the tactics of the enemy has been to take our bodies and our sexuality and make it seem cheap and devalue it in the society in which we live in. We live in a society in which junior hires are in the back of the bus having oral sex. Why? Just not because they like each other or dating, just to give each other favors. College kids, it's just standard to have weekend hookups in which I'm not dating you, you're not dating me, there's not really nothing special. We get together to give each other fringe benefits. That means we give each other sexual favors. The next day, hi, great time, good. There's nothing in our relationship. It makes me feel good. It makes you feel good. So it's just friends with benefits. We live in a day in which this thing that's sacred, this thing that God has given us and say, treasure it, honor it, it is given away on weekends as though it were some cheap thing that could be easily given away. It is devalued in it. It has the sense of that this is something important, something to keep, has been lost. And what Paul is saying is if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot take the value system of this world. Your sexuality is something that needs to be sanctified, set apart unto God, and viewed as something of high value. Now, I know that what I'm preaching right now, for some of you, if you're 21 years old here and you haven't fully given your life to Christ, and you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm not getting married till I'm 28. Finish college, get my first job, get my apartment. So hold on, Pastor, hold on a second. Am I hearing you right? Are you telling me as a 21-year-old guy that I am to be celibate and abstain from any and all sexual interaction until I'm 28 years old, put a ring on my wife's finger, and get married? Is that what you're telling me? And unless you've given your life to Christ and dealt with the whole ownership, lordship issue, this is going to seem crazy. But once Jesus is Lord of your life and you say, it's not my life, my body, my sexuality, but I belong to you, God, it'll only make sense when you understand that your body and your sexuality is under new management. It's under the management of the Holy Spirit. It won't make sense it's under your management. And that's what he says. He says, not in lustful passions. Lustful passions is I get an urge, I get a desire. Hey, I'm going to satisfy my need. The first victim I run into that I can seduce, hey, it's a done deal for the weekend. If I get the victim a little intoxicated, it's an easier deal in the weekend. And he says, you know, that's the way you were. And listen, I know that's the way a lot of us were. And I know some of you, when you came to Christ, man, that was your lifestyle. That's what you lived. That's what you grew up doing. That's how you were. That's who you were. So when you come to Christ, it's a shock to your system to live a whole different way. But I want you to know that what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you're a new person in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Your sexuality, your body is under a different kind of management, and the new management requires it to be set apart and it to be considered as something of high value that is not tampered with or given away easily. Number three, leads me to verse 6. That you not cheat one another by crossing sexual lines, so treat your sisters as sisters and your brothers as brothers. Listen to what it says in verse 6. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we told you before and solemnly warned you. Listen, what he says is this, that no man transgress, that word transgress means to cross lines. That no man cross lines or defraud. The word defraud means to rob. That no one cross lines or rob who? His brother. He's talking about the church. He's not talking about outside the church. He's talking about dating and relationships inside of the church. And he says, hey, I don't want you to cross sexual lines, and I don't want you to defraud. Hey, if I were to tell you, watch your purse, hang on to your wallets, don't leave the purses on the back of your chair because we've had people's wallets being stolen. We put it up on the PowerPoint. You would be careful. You'd say, I can't believe there's a thief loose in the church. Trying to pickpocket in the church. Trying to steal my money. But yet the Apostle Paul says it happens all the time. How does it happen? There's robbery happening. It happens when people get sexually involved. When people get sexually involved outside of marriage, any kind of sexual focus and energy that you give outside of marriage, ultimately someone ends up being defrauded or robbed because of it. Let me tell you how it works. Well, it works like this. If it's adultery, if you're a married person and one of your spouses gives your spouse gives attention to someone outside of your marriage and begins to focus their sexual energy, whether it's platonic or whether it's physical, then you are robbing your spouse of intimacy, energy, of covenant relationship. I mean, we all understand that it's just wrong. You're robbing something from your marriage. But you say, well, Pastor, what if it's just consensual? Two people dating, they like each other, they're serious about it. Showing a little affection. What's wrong with that? Seriously, anybody hurt in it? They love each other. They're thinking about talking about one day, 5 years down the road, 4 years down the road, getting married. What's wrong with having a little sex when you're dating? Well, let's put a pause button on that for a second. You're assuming that you know better than the designer knows. You're kind of assuming that, I know the designer says don't use it this way because it can break it, mess it up. But I'm going to use it anyway that way. Hey, listen, if the instruction says it's 120 voltage, not 220 voltage, I would listen to the instructions. Because you say, well, what's it going to hurt? I don't understand. I don't see anything wrong. Let me plug 220 in. I'm going to guarantee you plug 220 and it's meant for 120. It's eventually going to spark. It may work for a little bit, but let me tell you, it's not going to work very long. There is damage that will be done even though you don't understand that there's damage, because the designer of it ultimately that knows how it works best, that designed it from the beginning, says, here's the instructional manual. Do not use it this way, or it'll have repercussions.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to Mark Jobe. We'll be back with the second half of the message in just a moment. I hope you'll stay with us. But here at Bold Steps, we offer the Bold Stepper Weekly. And Mark, I haven't seen your inbox. I have to imagine it's a lot busier than mine. But, you know, there's a lot of emails that we get that we really don't pay any attention to and don't really want.
Yeah. Hey,
hundreds of emails.
Hits unsubscribe.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Delete. But there's certain emails that you just want to get because they're encouraging.
Yes. And I believe that's the Bold Stepper Weekly. I really do. I get this, and I hope our listeners are getting this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one time a week, but it's an encouragement to look to the heavens. It's a word for that week. It's pointing you back to Scripture. And we want you to sign up. It's free. It comes every week. And it's just a way to point you back to God as your week starts.
All right. Don't unsubscribe. Subscribe to the Bold Stepper Weekly at boldstepsradio.org. Well, let's get back to this important and timely message on purity from Mark Job.
Let me tell you how serious God is about it. He says this: "And that no one transgress or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord..." Hold on. Hey, young guy, you got your eye on a sister, a little sister in the church? Oh, she's cute. I know she's cute. You're trying to act all spiritual, bringing a big Bible? You make sure you're situated right in front of her when the music's going on. You're raising your hands extra high. You think that if you move a little bit, she's going to be distracted a little bit. You're showing how spiritual you are, taking notes, you know, because you know she wants a godly man, a spiritual man. So you're playing the part a little bit. Hold on a second. You're thinking that you can smooth talk that little sister. You're thinking that you can kind of lure her into wanting a spiritual man, a man of God, and then you'll go back to the ways of the world and taste some of the fruit of that little sister. Here's what God says. Listen, that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as also you were told before and solemnly warned. Hold on, what are you saying? That God is an avenger. Well, that's strong words. Listen, you can have enemies, but one enemy that I do not want to have on my list, one guy that I don't want to be my avenger, and that's the Lord of hosts, God Almighty. I don't want him to put me on the avenger list. The Lord is the avenger. That means the one that says, hey, you thought that you're dealing with an angry father? Listen, you ain't dealt with anything until you've dealt with the avenger, the almighty avenger, who looks at you and says, do not touch my little girl, my sister. So he says, hey, brothers, you need to look at the women in the church as sisters, sisters in the Lord. And sisters, you need to look at brothers as brothers in the Lord. And let me tell you what happens. If you have trained yourself, listen, let's be real here. Let's talk about how this works. All you have to do is go downtown sometime and go by a construction site sometime and just have a girl that's walking out of the office walk by a crew of construction guys, and you'll get a little idea of what happens. They're checking it out, up and down, checking her wall. Hey, look at this. That, you know, if that's your mentality, if you're out there and you are falling into pornea by getting on internet pornography, if you're having a steady dosage of pumping up your mind with sexual images, then when you come to church or when you go to work or when you go to school, you can't look at any woman with purity in your mind, because you have filled your mind with garbage, and what you see is a body, not a person. You don't see an individual. You don't see a heart. You don't see a soul. You see a body. And when you see just a body, then you treat someone as a piece of meat and not as an individual. And what God is saying is, listen, guys, that may have been the way it was in the world. You may have checked them out in the world. Your game may have been, how do I seduce and get this person? But you are no longer in the world. You are a man of God. Now rise up and live and walk like a man of God. Begin to put on the eyes of a man of God. Begin to train yourself to look at the face of a woman and not scan her body. Begin to understand that she is a woman of dignity, with a soul and with a life and with a spirit. And begin to understand that the more you expose yourself to the garbage that's in the world, the harder you have to work at saturating and cleansing your mind so that you can walk in purity. I know it's a battle. Listen, there are some of you young men that are here today that all your interaction with women has been so sexually charged that just to have a girl that you see as a sister in Christ is a huge challenge for you. Because your mind has been so seeped in the world, so brainwashed by the world system. To have a woman that you see as a sister, you look at her pure as you would look at your own sister, is just a huge challenge. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the culture of the kingdom of God. It's not the exception, it's what God is saying. I want that to be the norm in the body of Christ. Verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. You have a call on your life, and your call is not to use your body and to mess your life up with sexual immorality. That's not God's purpose for you. Because every time you defy, every time you fall into pornea, every time you fall into sexual immorality, every time you sleep with your girlfriend, in essence, you are defying the living God. Listen to what it says. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Hold on. What Paul is saying is this isn't man-made rules. This isn't Pastor Mark's law. This is not because it's church. This is because it's God. And if you reject the standard of purity, you are rejecting God. Why? Because God has deposited in you his Holy Spirit, and your body now is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and what you do with your body, you are doing with the temple of God. So when you say, hey, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow God, but don't expect me to be celibate until marriage, that's crazy. Right there, right now, you are saying, God, I reject you. You cannot be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to me well. Look up at me. You cannot be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ and serious about your walk with God if you continue to have casual sex on the side with your girlfriend, boyfriend, mistress, whatever it may be. You are rejecting God every time you go out there and you play your sexual games because this is not a small issue. Listen, this is a huge issue. I want our singles to walk in purity because they choose to walk in purity, because they say, God is the owner of my sexuality. I am set apart unto God. And I want to challenge you if you're dating, if you're single, if you're married. I challenge you if you're married, yeah, enjoy the sexuality in your marriage. Listen, if you're a married couple and you aren't having sex, then you need to get on your knees, repent, and say, God, forgive us, because we should be having sex, and a lot of it. Seriously. It's a sin to deny your partner. And obviously, hey, some of you, you know, you're in the doghouse because you put yourself in the doghouse. You act like a jerk, and then you want some of the goodies that are there. And that's not the way it works. So learn to be a good husband. Bring it out in your wife so that she wants to love on you and bless you and give herself to you as well. You say, Pastor, should we be talking about this in church? Absolutely, we should be talking about this in church. Absolutely. Not only should we be talking about it in church, but we should be determining that we are going to live counterculture revolutionary. And if we're going to do it, we need to be strong about it.
The Bible teaching of Mark Job here on Bold Steps. We're online at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, purity is a tough topic to teach about in our culture today. Every generation laments that this is the worst time ever when it comes to trying to live a pure life, but you have to admit that times are very tough right now.
You're right, Wayne. I'm sure that every generation looks at the new generation and says, wow, they're really going down. This is a tough topic, and maybe you have not heard on the radio or in a church message us being so upfront about this, but I'm convinced this is a topic we need to be upfront
about. Yeah, you got to talk about it now. Everyone else is talking about it, right?
Exactly, and here's my approach. My approach is the Bible talks a lot about this, and if you're not hearing a godly, biblical perspective coming from preachers and teachers, then where are you learning about this?
Mm-hmm. That's such a good word, Mark. Thank you. Now remember, to those of you listening, we want to hear from you. We love it when you share your stories. Doing so deepens our resolve to make sure this daily program is heard all over the country as well as the world. We're reaching people in places like Southern California, Lakeland, Florida, even Singapore. But none of this would be made possible without the support of those who give generously to make this program possible. As God moves you to invest in this ministry, we encourage you to give a donation online at boldstepsradio.org. Or give when you call us. The number to dial is 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. If it's easier, send your card or letter in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then be sure to ask about our latest Bold Step gift when you write. It's a book by Mark Sayers that will help you understand why individual revival and renewal is an important part of changing the landscape within the corporate body of Christ. We'd be happy to send a copy of Reappearing Church to your home when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. I'm inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we talk about the hard work of waiting for Jesus. Mark Jobe will be showing you what you can do to prepare for the second coming of Christ. So be listening Tuesday to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.